Jeff, what kind of status do Japanese rice farmers or the industry hold in public life at that country?
Well, I think they loom large in the public imagination. Rice cultivation is part of Japanese national identity. But I think it's very clear, because there's a lot of media reporting on this subject, that most farmers now are getting elderly, and most are part-time. So the average age of rice farmers is something like 65 years old. Most of them are part-timers. They don't depend entirely on the revenues generated by their rice harvest. So, they are a fairly large voting bloc, which has political implications. So when a previous prime minister was thinking about joining the TPP talks, the Japanese Agricultural Cooperative submitted a petition with 10 million signatures saying don't do it. So they can mobilize a fairly large vote. Older people tend to have higher voter participation rates, and rural districts tend to be overrepresented in the Japanese parliament, so it does give them a lot of political clout.
What are some of the forces behind that resistance to opening up to foreign competition?
Well, I think that, right now the Japanese rice market is heavily protected. There's something like a 900% tariff, and, they've opened the market a crack by, establishing quotas for imports, which they are obliged to import. But, I think that the forces of resistance are the Japanese agricultural cooperatives, which are very strong and they're very well organized and well funded. And so they use their control of rural areas to mobilize votes and get the attention of politicians.
Is there a sense among consumers that it's important to buy local produce?
I think that, all over the world there is a sort of growing inclination to buy locally because products are perhaps safer, they're adjusted to local taste buds. Japanese farmers over the last 20 years have, gone to great lengths to establish brands of rice, and so, generally speaking, in overseas people think of rice as rice. But actually, it's sort of more like wine. There are different varietals and different people swear by them and they can, sense quite a difference. And so I think that the Japanese farmers believe that they can actually withstand a surge of imports because, yes, for sort of day-to-day things, a lot of Japanese might prefer cheap rice. But I think there's still an inclination to buy domestic rice. They feel perhaps it's more fresh, safer, and also it is pleasing to the taste buds. So I think that that is what they're relying on. Last week I talked to an organic farmer, and he seemed pretty confident. He says, well, we're not going to be appealing to the mass market, but we're going to be appealing to a niche market, and we're going to be charging premium prices, and he thinks that people will be willing to pay it. So I think that there is a sense of resignation among farmers here that some sort of deal is going to be done, just as it was done at the last moment back in 92 or 3 when they had the Uruguay round and they established the WTO. Right at the last moment, the Japanese government blinked and they did allow a slight opening of the rice market because Japanese manufacturers said, well, it's a lot more important for us to gain access to world markets, and so we have to make some concessions on agriculture, and people think that that's going to happen again.
So do you think the degree to which Japanese negotiators at the TPP round in Hawaii this week, the degree of political feedback will depend on how much the market is opened up as part of these agreements?
Well, they're not going to open up the market. What they'll probably do is increase the quota. And so for rice-producing countries in the TPP, they'll all get a slightly larger quota. They'll have a limited access to the Japanese market, and I'm sure there'll be a snapback mechanism that if rice imports surge above established level, then the tariffs will be reimposed and the door will be closed. So I think that the Japanese negotiators realize there's a lot more obstacles out there to closing the deal on the TPP than Japanese rice imports. I think that they are confident that they could do a limited deal, limited access, and that will be enough, because there is a strong political will in the United States to get this deal done, and it's a lot bigger than the issues of farm access to Japanese market. Rice farmers in America, you know, are not exactly politically powerful. They're not economically important. The whole point of the TPP is not focusing on the trade in goods. It's more about services, intellectual property rights. These are much bigger ticket items.
In the Japanese debates around TPP negotiations, is what you're saying rice isn't as important as other sectors like the auto sector and some of those service and IP areas that you've just mentioned?
Clearly, the business federations are pushing this deal because they think it's good for business and it's going to open access. But in the imagination of the Japanese public, there's certainly a great deal of nostalgia about, the rice civilization of Japan. Everybody who goes to school here is taught that we are a cooperative society, we're a collective society, and this is based on our roots as a rice-cultivating society. So even though not that many people in Japan are actually cultivating rice, and as you say, most people are living in the cities, there's still this sort of nostalgia, romantic view of the countryside and sort of a changeless Japan amidst the turmoil. And so I think that people attach a lot of emotional and psychological importance to rice cultivation. But in the end of the day, I think the negotiators are going to do what makes sense economically, which means slightly greater access to Japanese agricultural market in exchange for much greater access for Japanese exporters to other markets.